now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Shout Out, your weekly LGBT plus radio show.
He's Andy Shilton and I'm Ali Osborne, and welcome today on the show, Talk to the Rainbow.
Tara and Hugo will be here talking about this brand new cancelling service.
And Bristol Pride.
Where will it be this year?
Who knows? All that and more.
Today on Shout Out.
Everyone did it then.
Well, we had a year without, didn't we, last year? Because we were celebrating the anniversary of Queer as Folk, which was our original backing one. So this one's back now.
Oh, yeah. Just realised. I was like, the music's changed. Who knew?
Yeah. Wow. Well, this was the one before.
Yes. So,
we did actually start with the Queer as Folk theme like years ago.
We did.
So for the anniversary, we brought it back for a year.
Yeah.
So.
Why not?
But it really annoyed Lara because she likes doing the dum dum that it does at the beginning. Okay.
Well, I think it sounds a little bit like the start of the Muppet Show.
It does a bit, doesn't it? Yeah.
If you remember that, if you're old enough to remember that,
how rude!
Well, we do well every week, don't we?
We're all Muppets. Yes.
How are you being operated, Terry?
I'm not even going to go there.
He's currently sat on someone's lap.
So anyway, hello everyone. We're in the same studio. Honest, I've just got one extra mic.
So yes.
There's five now. So I've got Alid, Steph, who's blending in with a jumper's blade. So can someone take a photo and put it on Facebook? Because a jumper is blending in with the microphone.
She's
very
so
nice,
coordinated. Like. Look at the glasses as well. The arms of the glasses match the jumper and the phone with the mic.
It's like the paparazzi.
I think she's. Alid, have you sat the opposite side where Hans is? You blend in too, to be fair. So hello, Hans. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine, but there's no pink mic.
There's no pink mic. No, that's that. Yeah, no. And hello, Terry. He's also matching.
He
oh my
also
god.
Also matches. Yeah.
I think we should.
Anyone
we should
would think we're all gay.
Who dear, me dear, no dear.
I think with Steph, you could use her sort of like they do that green screen thing on television.
Make it disappear.
Chroma key, I think we used to call it.
Definitely impose.
And then like, there'd just be this disembodied Steph head there reading things out. And her torso would have vanished. God.
Anyway, it's nice to be back, isn't it? Happy New Year, everyone, again. So, did you realise that we're nearly through January already?
Yeah. Like the there's only been 400 days.
Were you
and it's last day that we're in the EU, isn't it? Last 24 it hours.
Were you stuck for something to say just then, to say Happy New Year, just in case?
No one has.
I just thought I would rapidly move on from your floating head, if you want the honest truth. I mean, anyway, Terry, haven't you got something about History Month you wanted to inform us about?
I do. I've written a small piece about LGBT History Month because Steph said, let's introduce.
Me again.
Let's introduce History Month,
and which is the month of February,
which
here
takes place throughout February.
If you are listening, they're around the other way, aren't they? Because with America, it's actually Black History Month next month, but
and
we're LGBT
absolutely,
History
absolutely
month
in the United States. They mark LGBT History Month in October to coincide with Coming Out Day, which is on October the 11th. Over here, Black History Month has long been marked in February. So it's, LGBT History Month is in February and Black History Month is in October. Yes, get it the right way around, Terry. And in recent years, of course, there's also been a Disability Awareness Month, which takes place during November, and a GRT, which is Gypsy, Roma and Traveller History Month, which is put together by an organisation called Families and Friends of Travellers, and that takes place during June. So there's quite a few sort of different identity months.
And it's from there we get Polari. From the kind of gypsy Roman,
a bit of gypsy, a bit of theatre speak, the Polari, you mean the sort of language
right
of
back
gay men,
it dates right back to Romani, and
it
and
does, it does, and it uses bits of Yiddish as well. There's a bit of
lovely Tavadi, a dolly old
eek,
that's it,
yeah absolutely. No,
I concur.
Black History Month actually had a precursor dating right back to 1926. which was the brainchild of a very important but often overlooked black liberationary historian called Carter G. Woodson, who represented an organisation called the Association for the Study of Negro Life and Society, which still exists. It's now called the Association for the Study of African American Life and Society. So he started Black History Month way back in 1926. Wow. And he chose February, over, as we said, over in the United States, to mark the birth month of Frederick Douglass, the acclaimed social reformer, liberal politician and public speaker from the 19th century. And Black History Month was sort of reinvigorated then during the 1960s. You had the mid-60s civil rights demands, you had the Black Power movement, you had identity politics coming in affecting people like American First Nation people, Chinese Americans, gay people, of course, the Gay Liberation Front in America after Stonewall. So all this is happening, and Black History Month gets reinvigorated. But LGBT History Month, I think it's 1994. Let me just check my notes. It started anywhere. It was 1994 in the United States. That was first what was then called Lesbian and Gay History Month, which was the brainchild of a Missouri high school teacher called Rodney Wilson. And despite howls of derision from the usual fundamentalists and hate groups, the idea caught on. It proved successful and has been now recognised by many official bodies in the States. And over the years, the terms bisexual and transgender have been added to the celebration's title. The UK caught on a little bit later on with the veteran activist Sue Sanders from Schools Out, which is an LGBT education organisation. She founded LGBT History Month as an offshoot from Schools Out, and that was first celebrated in February 2005. It was swift to capture the imagination not only of the communities of LGBTQ people, but politicians, activists and artists. People that have spoken at LGBT history launch events include Stella Duffy, Michael Cashman and Ricky Beadle Blair. The organisers of LGBT History Month have faced down lots of controversies and derision in the newspapers and so on, you know, the Daily Mail and all that kind of stuff. And they've charted a course which is accepted by many teachers, lecturers and students. And this year, LGBT History Month, in actual fact it's called LGBT Plus History Month this year for the first time. We have the backing of the National Education Union, which is the old National Union of Teachers, if you remember that, and the NASUWT, which is the other main teaching union.
Yeah.
And that's they're both sponsoring the event in 2020.
Which is good, especially in the wake of some of the things that happened last year. We had loads of protests outside schools
In Birmingham, you know, it did. They tried to spread their protests to Nottingham, but they didn't.
Really, and down here as well, I believe. Actually,
there was a rumour that it was going to happen,
but it didn't.
But it didn't. You know, relations between the LGBTQ and the Muslim communities in Bristol are pretty good, actually, Bristol Muslim Cultural Society. Very pro-Pride. You may remember some years ago the English Defence League were going to protest when Pride was on, and Bristol Muslim Cultural Society sent a message of solidarity to Pride. You know, it's a very different atmosphere to Birmingham, I think. But be that as it may, if you're interested in getting involved in LGBT History Month, the emphasis on grassroots actions around the country, all adding up to a major initiative. So there's dozens of free resources available on the LGBT Plus History Month website. You've got lively posters paying tribute to such important historical figures as Anne Lister. I think Hans has visited Anne Lister's house.
I have. Shibden Hall.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely incredible woman.
Incredible pictures you took of it. You were showing us.
Yes, and of the Anne Lister pumpkins.
Can't remember the Anne Lister pumpkins.
Well, you know, who doesn't want a historical, you know, pumpkin with a lesbian carved into it?
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Absolutely
brilliant. Also, you can download free posters for LGBT History Month featuring Alan Turing, Jack Monro, Dusty Springfield and Edward Carpenter, to name but a few.
Yeah, cool.
You know.
Know your history, folks.
Absolutely. I think it's very important. I mean, some people say, you know, and the same criticism is levelled at Black History Month, that, you know, every day should be LGBT History Month, or every day should be Black History Month as well, because it should be integrated into a wider curriculum, and sometimes it separates things out so people can say, oh, that's just LGBT History.
Well, we know that
it's a very difficult
watch
question.
Pose right now, that will give you a good history lesson.
That's the voguing series, isn't it?
Yes. So watch the first two series of that, and that's a good enough history lesson, I think. Absolutely. To give you a good foundation.
Especially of black and Hispanic gay culture in the 1980s.
And the fact that, you know, it was trans women of colour that pretty much gave queer people their first safe spaces, and it was them that started what can be only described as the first pride movement with the Stonewall riots. And if that hadn't happened, then nothing else would have happened, and they represent that beautifully in Pose.
I've
not seen that.
It is absolutely
Billy Porter
incredible.
Plays the main character, and he's just giving me life right now.
His hat,
his hat, well, at the Grammys. Beautiful.
Cool. Well, we'll be celebrating LGBT History Month throughout February, I believe, aren't we?
Yes, every Thursday through February we got items, and I think all our podcasters are contributing something that's relevant to History Month.
And just as a quickie, by Visible Bristol, a meeting next Tuesday, which is before our next show, which is Thursday, at the Watershed at 6 p.m. yes. anyway, if you are questioning, or you think you're bisexual, or you are bisexual and you want to meet other people who are just like you, then go down to the Watershed next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and you can see them all and have a lovely time.
That's great. Is there a new regular venue, the Watershed? Because they used to be at Hydra, the Radical Bookshop, but since that closed,
so it's moved, hasn't it?
Yeah. So
I mean, that shop itself is closed, but Hydra is
Hydra's still got. I think they're
in Cafe Kino.
Which is, for Stokes listeners Croft. That don't know, vegan cafe on Stokescroft. But so Watershed is a great queer friendly venue.
Yeah, yes. Watershed at 6 on the first Tuesday of every month.
Brilliant.
Okay, you're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
But yeah, that's Turn Me On. I think it's pronounced Reeton and Oliver Heldens. Reeton, would you say Reeton or Reiton?
Reiton?
Reiton.
Right
here, if you were looking it up. So that's good. Turn Me On. So.
Okay,
by the amount of dancing that was going on, I'm assuming you got quite like that too.
Yeah.
So. It's quite a bop, that one.
It is, isn't it? Well, it's kind of, you know, getting in the mood.
Be a good gym song.
And so, as Andy H reflected, of course, the main synth line that is from an early 80s track by Yazoo.
Yeah.
It is.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Yeah, you're more than welcome.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, 30th of January.
Well, of course, Memorial Day was marked this week on the 27th of January. The date marks the anniversary, 75 years ago, when the Soviet Union's Red Army liberated the German Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz-Birkenau. The camp in Poland is perhaps the most notorious of those operated by the Nazis during the Second World War, and which systematically killed Jewish people, as well as a varying number of Shinty and Roma gypsies, gay and bisexual males, disabled people, asocial people, people with mental health difference or with learning difficulties, Jehovah's Witnesses, communists and socialists. In Britain, the Memorial Day has been marked officially by government since 2001. Now, the official position of the Board of Jewish Deputies in the UK is that only the Jewish community experienced a systematic genocide during this period that could be termed a Holocaust, but they acknowledge that many other groups, including homosexuals and gypsies, suffered grave injustices under the German occupation of Europe. It's perhaps salutary to note that Holocaust Memorial Day has sometimes been the subject of political wranglings over the years. The Muslim Council of Britain, usually considered to be quite a conservative group, refused to recognise the day for a while, in part because of their hostility to the actions of the Jewish State of Israel, and partly because they did not wish to acknowledge at the time the treatment of gay people under the German Third Reich. This boycott, however, did eventually end in the late noughties. Meanwhile, the gay political conservative and social commentator Matthew Paris wrote in the Press that the Holocaust Memorial Trust had exaggerated the level of Holocaust denial within the United Kingdom. Be that as it may, if you want some free resources on the Holocaust for education or your workplace, then you can log on to hmd.org.uk. And on a related note, Simon Sharma, the respected historian, has remarked, taken together with stabbings in New York recently, something truly monstrous is rising from the slime. He He was speaking following the spraying of anti-Semitic and anti-black graffiti in London at the weekend. The Independent newspaper says that a branch of Barclays Bank and a Caribbean restaurant were vandalised with white supremacist symbols and the letters WP, which refers to the neo-Nazi white power movement. At this moment in time, it's not clear if the incidents are linked, but many commentators believe that they are the work of the same far-right cell. Some weeks ago, The Guardian reported that anti-Jewish conspiracy references were also sprayed across London. For those of you who want to get directly involved in campaigning against fascism, and there are many LGBTQ people who do, there are numerous groups with a variety of approaches. Searchlight is a magazine published since 1964, which examines and exposes the activities of various far-right groups and what they intend to do to democracy. Meanwhile, Hope Not Hate, was founded in 2004 and campaigns against all forms of the far-right, including, for example, an anti-Jewish, anti-gay sect calling itself the Church of Yahashaweh, which preaches a form of black supremacy. Meanwhile, the Anti-Fascist Network says that it is a network of independent and grassroots groups operating together against the rise of fascism and racism in our communities. You can find all of these organisations online, or if you have a radical or progressive bookshop in your area, then you can pop in and find a wide variety of anti-fascist intelligence and information.
Plant-based News, a web service for vegans and vegetarians, reports that February will see a major conference for vegan women in business and politics take place in the City by the Sea, San Francisco, which of course is also known for its vibrant LGBTQ community. The Vegan Women's Summit was founded by Jennifer Sokovic, according to an article written for Plant-Based News by Liam Gilliver, who has also penned pieces for Gay Times and Attitude magazine in the past. Veg News magazine takes up the story and says that this inaugural event aims to inspire and empower female and female-identifying vegan changemakers, but is open to anyone who would like to attend. Among those speaking will be Pinky Cole of Slutty Vegan, which is a vegan takeaway rooted in the BAME community of Atlanta and committed to serving high-quality vegan meals which give a taste sensation. Our mouths are watering just thinking about it. You may remember last year's tragic death of Lyra McKee, a lesbian journalist shot by dissident Republican factions during riots in Derry in Northern Ireland, which Lyra was reporting on. While the journalistic and media worlds have not forgotten Lyra or her important work in using the power of journalism to change the world for the better. The Irish World newspaper, which is a voice for the Irish community within Britain, says that Lyra has been awarded an honorary master's degree by the City University of Birmingham, where she had previously studied. The paper notes that Lyra's TED talk on coming out and advocating for LGBTQ freedom was a hit on the popular TED website. Lyra's sister and brother-in-law attended a special ceremony and were conferred the honour by the City University Vice-Chancellor and course leader for the Master's degree in Journalism. A memorial anthology of Lyra's articles, Lost, Found, Remembered, will be released on the 22nd of March, ahead of the first anniversary of her death on 18th of April.
Saeeda Muish from our fellow community broadcaster Swindon 105.5 says that Domestic Violence Awareness Week is coming and it starts on February the 3rd. She notes that domestic violence can involve violence against children, partners, family members, friends or elderly people. From the 3rd of February and continuing all week, the Swindon 105.5 station will feature daily articles about the phenomenon of domestic violence and showcase what help is available in the borough of Swindon. Individuals will share their stories and organisations that offer assistance will describe their services. So if you are in the Swindon area, then you can hear the station and the output on 105.5 FM, as the station's name suggests.
Wicca Radio International, the pagan radio station based in New Orleans, reminds us that this weekend coming we'll see an important festival sacred to Celtic and Wiccan pagans and also to Christians. Imbolc's name in ancient British means in the belly, according to The Goddess and the Green Man, a pagan bookstore on Glastonbury High Street. The land is pregnant and there is the promise of the earth reawakening after the winter. In our agricultural past, Imbolc, which falls halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, would mark the start of lambing season. In the Celtic Christian tradition, the festival's goddess Bridget was adopted as Saint Bridget. Meanwhile, for many Christian traditions, including Anglicans and Roman Catholics, the festival is known as Candlemas and marks the presentation of the boy Jesus of Nazareth at the temple in Jerusalem, a key event in the life of the figure who is believed by most Christians to be the son of the Judeo-Christian God. Some historians believe that Candlemas replaced a Roman pagan festival called Lupercalia, which was a purification festival for the coming year. The festival was also called Dies Fabruatus, and it is from this that we derive the month of February. However you mark these special days of expectation and increasing light, we wish you a blessed time.
Indeed, for these news stories and more, you can visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout podcast.
I was just worried I was going to put your mic up there, then you were actually singing it.
No, she's a lip sync. No one wants to hear me sing, dear.
So that's All Time Low by The Wanted. So. Well, it's very good. I didn't know because I got headphones on.
I am The Wanted, though. I am. Wanted.
You are The Wanted.
I am. I am Wanted. Yeah. In my head, I am.
So you or your character? What's her name?
Both.
Oh, right. Well, I suppose that would go along. So.
Anyway. Moving on.
Yeah, anyway. So, hello, Tara. How are you?
Hello, I'm all right. Thank you.
It's lovely to have you on. And joined by Hugo. Welcome to Shout Out.
Thanks for having us.
Regular listeners know, obviously, Tara is part of Shout Out as well. Yeah. But you're not here in your Shout Out capacity. You're here because you're talking to us about something rather new and exciting, aren't you?
Yeah, so I've not been here quite so often because I've been working as a counsellor. And part of that process has been I'm here to talk about Talk to the Rainbow.
So give us an idea. What is Talk to the Rainbow?
So Talk to the Rainbow is a service dedicated to the LGBT community. We're a team of about 15 counsellors and therapists that have come together to provide mental health support for the community in recognition of the growing mental health crisis the community is facing. We know from personal experience how difficult it can be for members of the LGBTQ plus community to find therapists that they can relate to based on common experience.
Right.
And we know a couple that travels to London every week to find an LGBTQ plus therapist that they can relate to. And so the idea was to bring a group of really experienced LGBTQ plus therapists and their allies together to provide the community with a one-stop shop if they have any mental health issues, so that they know that throughout their journey with us, they're going to be seen in a safe space and with members of the LGBTQ community who are therapists or allies of the LGBTQ community that have proven themselves allies, who have campaigned on the LGBTQ plus community's behalf or have strong views within about the LGBTQ community, who feel very safe and anchored within that community. So we have trans therapists, we have lesbian therapists, gay therapists, bisexual therapists, queer therapists, we have disabled therapists, we have BAME therapists, we have mothers who are who have children that are LGBTQ plus. So we can offer a whole range of different approaches within the service.
So is it something that's discussed openly then? Because, I mean, you can't tell that someone's gay just by looking at them as an example, you know. But is it something that is openly talked about when you talk to someone new who's coming to the service? You might feel that they can't approach someone who's heterosexual, for example.
Well, we may never make an assumption of where someone is on that spectrum, whether it's gender identity or sexuality, because, as we know, people have
you as the counsellors, are you open and say, you know, if you're feeling uncomfortable talking to someone who's heterosexual, I'm a gay man, as an example, is that?
As a counsellor, I have worked with and I work with both heterosexual and LGBTQ plus clients, and it's never been an issue either way. But there's something about being able to talk to an LGBTQ plus counsellor that a lot of people find very useful in the community, someone that has an idea of the lived experience that many in the community have gone through, will have experienced a level of discrimination.
Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. So do you openly say, you know, if someone is struggling to, who is gay and comes to use your service and is struggling to talk to someone who, you know, may be heterosexual, are the counsellors open enough? Because some of them you can tell. I mean, if you're black and you're talking to someone black, it's quite obvious. But talking to someone gay or lesbian, you don't know unless you actually are a counsellor saying, yes, no, it's fine to talk to me. I'm a gay person myself. I can relate to you.
Well, I think by virtue of the fact that they're going to be approaching us at Talk to the Rainbow and we're very clear in terms of who we are
right.
and what help we can offer, people will assume that there's an element of acceptance wherever they fall in that spectrum.
I guess from my experience of finding a therapist, you know, when you're trying to hunt out a therapist when you're trying to do your transition, it's really hard out there. You see lots and lots of white, middle-class, heterosexual therapists, and yet, you know, when you're trying to find out who you are, that can be just the most terrifying place to be in. So my experience was I found a therapist that was lesbian who dealt with trans clients, and that really was my way into actually finding who I was.
So how did this project come about? How did you, like, was it kind of through local authority commissioning and was like, we need this service for these people, or did like the 15 of you together just go, this service is needed, let's do it?
So Tara and I worked together at an addiction or a substance misuse clinic.
Okay.
Or unit, I should say. And at that point, we started discussing about the possibility of working together, just her and I, as offering an LGBTQ+ service. I know from personal experience, when I looked for LGBTQ+ therapists, it's been very difficult in the past for me to find someone that I could trust and remove that barrier, that initial worry of like, are they not? Are they okay with being gay, with me being gay? How open can I be? Can I talk about gay sex openly with a straight therapist? So that's the initial idea, and that snowballed very quickly as the enthusiasm for the idea grew and we got investment and actively started recruiting therapists to come on board. And so we do now have a team of, it will be about 15 when we launch, and with room for many more that have actively wanted to join the organisation. And that's anything from clinical psychologists to mindfulness practitioners.
Which must be great. I mean, there's nothing like, if you're trying to set these things up and it's a struggle, you know, if you've got people who actively want to be involved, it must make it an awful lot easier to get the thing off the ground. So,
absolutely.
So when's it due to launch?
We were due to launch in February, but Christmas and New Year delayed it. But we're looking to launch beginning of March now.
Right.
Okay.
Beginning to mid-March. I mean, we have, in all intents and purposes, already launched in a soft launch. We can see clients. We have therapists that are ready to see clients. So I'd invite clients to contact us if don't wait until March, because we are ready to see clients.
And how do clients refer to you? Is it a self-referral or is it through other health professionals? How do they access you?
The next step for our community outreach is to go to GP surgeries, the NHS, various other organisations, and let them know that we're launching and these are the services that we can provide. At the moment, it will be through word of mouth. We're also actively engaged in the diversity debate, because what we're not prepared to do is sit back and pick up the pieces for a growing mental health crisis when actually we're witnessing the effects of this coming into our therapy rooms. And so we plan to have a voice and actually get involved in the mental health issues of the community and drawing attention to these, because they really need to change. And this mental crisis is growing every year exponentially. That's and there right. simply isn't the support for it.
Yeah. I mean, it is genuinely, having done this programme for, 10 years this year, it's really nice to hear, because we've also, unfortunately, seen some of them disappear over the years that we've been doing this. So to hear that there's a new one starting up is absolutely brilliant. So you may or may not be aware, we don't just cover Bristol on the home station here on BCFM. We have quite a wide reach. So what area are you intending to cover?
So at the moment we're starting with Bristol, but we've got someone that's interested in Cardiff, and we've got someone that's interested in Cheltenham as well. So, and we're going to see, we're kind of hoping that therapists will come to us and we can help them organically grow this as out as far, you know, our aim is, can we not be in Manchester, London, Newcastle, you know, what's, brilliant. You know, the brand, we're trying to get the brand to represent that. So we've been spending quite a lot of time with Brandon and the website and all the rest of it to try and make sure that comes across.
Well, you know that's going to be my next question, don't you? So if people do want to get in contact with you, and as you said, you're now taking on clients, what's the best way to get hold of you?
So via, we have a holding page, which is fully branded and gives all the top line information of the services we can provide. There are contact details on that page. And if anyone wants to contact us for client work, if they just log on to www.talktotherainbow.co.uk, they'll be able to find all the information there that they need to contact us.
Brilliant.
We would then have a chat with them and assess them, and based on that, refer them to the counsellor that we think might be the most appropriate for them.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, listen, I mean, it's a brand new thing, so I'm sure there's an awful lot going on behind the scenes that's eating up all your time. But it's brilliant to hear about these new things, and we do wish you the best of luck with it. Obviously, Tara, I'm sure you can be back on the show anyway, yeah. But you will have to come back when you're perhaps a few months down the line, tell us how it's going and how it's growing and the like, and which would be great.
I've got a feeling you're going to become very busy very quickly.
our main worry at the moment is capacity. Yeah. Actually, yeah. How are we going to be able to help all the people that are already kind of streaming through?
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, yeah, we've got plans to expand as quickly as we can, really, and to create a safety hub within Bristol for the community that is generally focused around wellness.
Brilliant.
Much sure. Needed.
Well, like I said, best of luck with it. We'll stay in touch with you. But for now, we do need to take a break there. So stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're going to be going to Pride of all things in January coming up next. So stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Olé! Oh, good Lord, you baby. You were waiting for that there, weren't you?
I was. That's the thing with Alid. He only sees red lights and that's it. He's on show.
I don't get paid.
Anyway, that's Carnival de Paris, which is kind of fitting, but considering what we're about to talk.
Wow, you can speak French.
So everyone just ignore her. There we
Kylie
go.
Kylie taught me my French. Je ne sais pas pourquoi. That's the only French I know.
Do you know what it means, though?
Something about something.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I thought so. Yeah.
So, anyway, welcome back to the show. Very regularly. We don't normally kind of catch up with you in January, I think, but it is lovely to have you on the show. Welcome back to Darren Carter.
Hi.
Along with Eve, who we've not spoken to before. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, now, we wanted to get you on because, of course, first thing, it was absolutely amazing last year, moved up to the Downs with Bristol Pride. Huge hit from everything we saw. Do we have official numbers yet? Do we know how many we had through?
Yeah, so we had 40,000 people through the whole course of the day, which is just incredible, which is an increase, obviously, of what they had down in the amphitheatre.
That was, what, about 30,000?
Yeah, so,
another 10,000 people on top.
So it's been, it's just been great. So it's great to have that many people come and celebrate Pride in Bristol with us. I had 18,000 on the parade as well, so... Again, we've seen record numbers there.
I love it because it just grinds Bristol to a halt. There's nothing they can do about it. There's all these rainbows everywhere.
We are taking the streets over. Yeah.
Now, can we ask officially, I don't know if it's been officially announced or not yet, where are we this year? Are we back at the Downs?
We are back at the Downs,
marvellous.
Yeah.
So same kind of area? Are you moving area?
Yeah, nope, same spot. It worked really well up there. We felt like the site worked really well for us. It was a great green space, and we're going to make a few small tweaks to the site, but nothing major.
Cool. So, I mean, so it worked really well last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible success. Like, you know, great turnout. You know, all the stages and new areas work really well. So I think there are a few plans to kind of, as Eve says, to kind of tweak a few things and look at that. But
what, like Alid's stage?
Yeah, we're going to make it smaller.
Okay, so the lineup is cancelled.
For those of you that don't know, by the way, Alid is the person that looks after the big cabaret stages there every single year, isn't it?
I do, yes. Yeah. And I must say this, last year was the most incredible from like the cabaret stages perspective as well. It was just phenomenal across the board. Tens.
So that's why you want a bigger one this year, isn't it?
I don't want that much of a bigger one, just maybe a little bit, like, and not bigger as in capacity wise, just like,
oh, you want height
height
wise, just so the people at the back can see.
duly noted. I'll see what we can do.
So, but I mean, it worked because I know you put a lot of effort into the design of where things should be, like where you go to eat versus where you are with the stage and the light, and that worked really well this year. Last year, did it?
Yeah, I think it did. We definitely took a lot of time. We spent a lot of time umming and ahhing over the site plan and many days pacing around the downs, measuring things and trying to imagine it and think forward. But yeah, I think on the whole, it did work really well. It's a good space.
So are we at a point where we're allowed to ask anything like about artists or anything yet?
No.
I'll get a Beth Dallard bubble and just tell you exactly who's got on the lineup. No. No, we're still really early days. And I must say, it has taken us a bit of time to get the downs secured again. So that's delayed us a little bit. We've been just because of the meeting dates to be able to approve that. So that's just taken a while.
Because a lot of people think it's just like a public space and it's a council thing. It's not, is it? Downs is technically privately owned or privately managed.
That's right. So we have conversation with the merchant venturers who own the Downs along with City Council. So there's permissions to go through for that. And what was incredible really was the feedback we had from Pride last year, not just from the community and people that came being amazing, but actually even for the first time, like from the council just saying, God, we only had like a handful of complaints, which was kind of a bit about traffic. And that's it. So actually just really well received by residents in the area as well. So yeah, everyone's really happy.
please correct me if I'm wrong with this, but I also hear it's like they're trying to balance the money a bit more across the board because St Paul's Carnival's kind of coming back again this year and they put in a huge bid and I believe they're actually upping and trying to level them out so that you guys get some more as well. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. So, obviously we asked for more last time. So the funding is in 2 year rounds. We asked for more, got a lot less last year. This year it's been balanced out a bit more. So even though we did ask for more, everyone's been capped at 20K. So, that's the funding that we get. And it's not funding to put Pride on. It's project work funding. So that supports our BSL work. So signers on the stage, deaf performers,
which we had accessibility. Huge amount of feedback about, by the way.
Really amazingly popular, well received, but needed as well. There are very few other festivals actually making any inroads into ensuring that their stages are BSL interpreted. So
that was the first time that a BSL person had been interviewed on radio.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually interviewed, and that was out on Radio Bristol, so it was on the BBC as well as our other partner stations, and that was a first.
Well, there we are. So, yeah, we are breaking the mould a bit with what we're doing, and I'm really proud of that.
Credit to the interpreters on stage as well, because they are phenomenal.
They get tested as well.
Oh, tested by Christ. Well, so, I provide them with, the set lists from, let's say, the drag queens, but you can never tell with a drag queen what's going to happen until they're on the stage. So they'll change it last minute, or they'll put a parody in there that is completely like off the cuff, and they are literally interpreting on the spot, no rehearsal. This is what it is. And they blow my mind every time. They're so great.
I think we spoke to one that was doing the main stage as well, and they were like, there are some words in the songs that have no meaning, they're just weird words. And it's like, how do you explain it? And the things that they do to explain it, but it still seems to work. And
they dance along with my drag queens. They're doing the Macarena, they're doing the Saturday Night, whatever the routine is, Time Warp, they're fully involved. They're like another act. Mm-hmm. You're getting two for the price of one, I think.
So, if you could give people that are coming this year any advice over last year, what would you say?
Ooh, what would it be? I guess it's just kind of pick up a program or look online and kind of really look at what's happening, because obviously now the site is so much bigger, you're going to have to plan which stage you want to be at and what's going on. And I think, there were some bits that people weren't, like the circus tent was new last year, the silent disco was new last year. So just kind of being aware of all the different things that are happening across the whole festival site. And pick up a wristband so you can get your free bus travel up and down. Obviously now we're a bit further out of town, that's a godsend, and it will really save you money on the day.
That's first group to do that for us.
Yeah, so that's really positive, and save you money on the bars as well. So getting a wristband really, really helps and makes a difference, and obviously that supports Pride to happen and keep it, a donation entry for those that couldn't afford to come.
Yeah. Well, before we finish up, we do it every year, so I'm going to do it again officially on air. But it's Shoutout's 10th birthday this year, and again, as we've always done every year, we'd like to formally ask if we could come and broadcast a thing for you again. Would you let us do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
marvelous. Cool. And you have to make sure you come see us as well. So it's always lovely to have you on the air. I know it's a really busy day.
Really busy day.
Yeah, just a bit.
We've got all the time in the world. We really have.
We have cold drinks. You can come and chill out. And
oh, there you go. Steal the deal.
Cool. Well, listen. I'm sure as the year goes on and we head towards the event, we'll be talking to you loads more, because it's not just the day, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say we actually haven't talked about the date, so we probably should throw those out there. So.
Yes, I'm assuming everyone knows.
The Pride Day will be on Saturday the 11th of July, so it's still that second weekend of July, so that's the 11th, and then we'll be running events across Bristol from the 26th of June.
Oh wow, gosh, that early.
So again, still 2 weeks of events across the city with popular favourites like the dog show, comedy.
The comedy's always so rammed, isn't it? Yeah. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, sold out in 48 hours last year, so
Are you tempted to do more than one if it's that sold out?
No, I think it's special. You know, just make sure you get in there early.
I still remember the first dog show. I took my little dog along, and it was a Make Sunday special thing, wasn't it? And wasn't it Freddie's idea to do it?
Just really popular as well.
Yeah, and it just started off as this tiny little event, and now it's huge. It's almost like Gay Crufts. But
if you look at the events that we post on Facebook, like the dog show gets the most comments, the most convo, the most chit chat. Like everybody, like, do not get in the way of a queer person and their dog.
No, like it's the looks like owner that's hilarious, isn't it? Anyway, it's lovely to catch up with you both, and it's really great that it's going to be up at the Downs again, because I thought it was fantastic last year. I really hope we're lucky again with the weather, because it's so good when we are. We will keep in touch with you as the year goes on, and I'm sure that we'll be talking more and more about events, and as you just heard, we're very pleased to say we will be there broadcasting for the day. So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I love that. That's The Race.
That's wild. Yellow. That track, wild.
The Race.
The Race.
And it's not Drag Race.
No. Not everything's about dragging.
There are other races out there. Who knew? Gasp.
I knew, right?
I didn't.
No.
Sorry, we've just been consoling Aled. Now he's found out his stage is shrinking.
They're joking. They're pulling my leg.
I'm a bit concerned about the damage your 6-inch stilettos are doing to the floor of the studio, though, Aled.
I'm not wearing stilettos at the minute.
Aren't you?
No.
You're just naturally that tall.
Could you give that to Steph?
I'm a giant, babe.
Really? Ducks. Yes, good news that we're broadcasting live from Pride, and we might have a few surprises that we'll
send a roaming mic over to my stage.
We're working on a few things that we'll announce. Yes. Closer to the time, shall we say.
But we'll be on multiple stations. And
of course, our home station here, BCFM, we'll be on all day. Is it early enough? Can we announce it yet?
What?
Who else we're doing it with?
BCFM, obviously, is the core broadcaster, and we'll be the responsible broadcaster.
Responsible.
Because we take no responsibility at all.
Have you met Pat?
Well, no, he's taking all the responsibility, so we don't have to. Aren't you, Pat?
nudge, by the way.
Yeah. But we are broadcasting all day this time with BBC Radio Bristol.
Radio Bristol want to take, they had 4 hours last year, but they want more this year.
They're doing the whole thing this year. Yep. So a lot of our other stations that support us and take the show are currently negotiating. So I think we're about 3 or 4 at the moment, but potentially it could be a lot. We don't know. We shall see. It's far too early. Why are you not coming out? There we go. Sorry, Terry.
Why am I not coming out? Well, there's a question.
Because he already has.
A long time ago, mate.
Wasn't that what I meant?
We do have a few buns in the proverbial oven, and we may have an announcement next week, Steph, might we, about a little bit of shout-out radio news. So watch this space. Yeah.
Yep.
Listen to this space.
Year,
thank you, Aled. Yes, you're right.
And there's all sorts going this year, because it is Shoutout's 10th birthday. It's 10 years this June that this show has been on air. So it will be an excuse for a party of some sort.
I did your first birthday.
Yes, you did.
How
actually
in OMG.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. She looks a completely different queen now. So, by the way, if you want to book a drag queen for your 10th birthday, she will be free.
Marvellous, because we haven't got any money.
She'll be available, let's say. We can talk budgets
later. We got that recorded, mate. You've already said it.
Put it back to you on loop.
Far too late.
I'll have a bottle of gin.
So, but yeah, no, yeah, all sorts coming up this year, so it should be a very good, exciting year. So, yeah, just have to keep listening. I'm hitting the wrong jingle. I want that one. There we go. Anyway, that's it for this week. Catch us again by checking out our podcast at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
This week's news presenters were Hans Peregrine and Terry Starr. Your presenters were myself, Alid Osborne and Andy Shilton, and all produced by the legend Steph Barnett.
Join us again next week when we are with Curly Hair. But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.